I'm Nassim.
I'm Spiros Makridakis.
Anil Gaba.
And I'm Robin Hogarth.
So, and my friends wrote a book that I highly recommend about behavior under uncertainty and human errors. But there's one particular point I'd like to ask you, all right, Spiros. Spiros, you told me that, and that's in your book, that doing checkup, going to a regular checkup, doesn't increase life expectancy, mostly because of the type 2 error.
Yeah,
true.
And not only that, but it may even be harmful because there's over-diagnosis and over-treatment if you do this test.
Okay, and what do you think, Robin? Illusion of control is your work.
Illusion of control. The notion is that we think by going on the test that we're somehow or other we're getting control over what's happening, but it's totally illusory. There's a nice story I like, which is a guy who won the Spanish lottery once. And the Spanish lottery is a big one. Every Christmas you have this big lottery. And the journalists came down and they asked him, how come you won the lottery? He said, oh, I thought of the number, I went and got the number 7. And I found the number 7, dreamt of it for 7 nights in a row, and 7 times 7 makes 48. So I found a ticket that had number 48. Now, he had an illusion of control, but he was rich. And that's one of the biggest problems that we face in our thing. The things happen. We get lucky sometimes. We don't know when we're lucky. Things happen. Other times, we're unlucky. And how do we handle luck in life is really the major issue.
Anil, what do you think?
So basically, illusion of control then has a manifestation in the sense that we consistently underestimate the uncertainty around us in all domains. So we don't realize how much randomness there is.
Okay. Now there's one thing about this endemic illusion of control in society. We understand that we're fooled by, randomness, by stuff like that. But this illusion of control, the beauty of your work, you guys, is that we're now a group forming of people analyzing professionals. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that it's not among the population that it exists. It's the expert who is a problem. Okay. So we're calling that the generalized expert problem.
Right.
Where do you think we're going to go with that research?
Well, I think it's very important because experts tend to think because they're experts, they become experts on lots of things. So, for example, but we know, in fact, the research and expertise shows expertise is very limited. You can be an expert in calculating, doesn't mean you're an expert in art literature. And one of the problems is delimiting the ranges of which people think they're experts.
Well, experts don't predict more accurately than non-experts, and that's very important.
In some domains. In social science. That's what I mean. My cut point is social science. An expert in gambling, in horse races will do better.
There they can do better.
Now, where do you think we can go, all of us now, with this militancy or our group to try to improve society? All right, where should we be heading?
So I think the one thing which is I think very, very key is to kind of remove this unwarranted respect for sophisticated models, where you get taken in by the technical wizardry and you forget the assumptions.
Yeah.
And I think that what's very important is to understand better what we can forecast and what we cannot forecast, and therefore what we can control and we cannot control.
Yeah, I think that in the social domain, when people make predictions, we should be able to see their past record of predictions. Yeah. We never have that. People just come along, make a prediction, and we have no record of their past records, and that's something we have to get hold of.
But it doesn't solve the problem, because a lot of people can have a great past record, and people may overread into it.
If we get hold of the records of the people, at least people it's public what they're doing. And I think if these records are public, it's much better.
It's very good that we're now moving into analyzing. Now we know that most finance professionals and theorists are pseudo-experts, okay? But now medicine is the area that I think is the most sensitive one, because I think, and if we're right, yeah, Spiros, if we apply this analysis, that gains of life expectancy don't come from medical practitioners, right? They come from
sanitation,
drop in crime,
right.
From a lot of things. But also that at the margin, the more money you inject into medicine, the more you're going to have a type 2 error. So we're crossing the point into break even, and iatrogenics, the doctor killing patients, that part of medicine is probably what is causing Americans to have pumped so much money at the system, yet not live longer than people
other
like
countries.
You in Greece.
Right.
Granted, Greece may have other reasons because of Ouzo. All right.
So just like economics, I mean, you're taking a complex system and you're making simplifying assumptions, and that's the same thing is happening with medicine, as has happened with economics, basically.
And the cost is tremendous, right?
Yeah.
All this medical testing and all of these drugs. drugs and everything.
Yeah, the cost direct and
indirect.
Indirect, because you're going to over-treat someone and kill people who are otherwise healthy. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Okay. It's a great day in Fontainebleau.
Good to meet you.
Enjoy it. Great.